Micaiah answered, "You'll find out on the day you have to hide in the back room of some house." Ahab shouted, "Arrest Micaiah. Take him to Prince Joash and Governor Amon of Samaria. Tell them to put him in prison and to give him nothing but bread and water until I come back safely." Micaiah said, "If you do come back, I was wrong about what the Lord wanted me to say." Then he told the crowd, "Don't forget what I said." Ahab dies at Ramoth. Ahab and Jehoshaphat led their armies to Ramoth in Gilead. Before they went into battle, Ahab said, "Jehoshaphat, I'll disguise myself, but you wear your royal robe." Ahab disguised himself and went into battle. The king of Syria had ordered his chariot commanders to attack only Ahab. So when they saw Jehoshaphat in his robe, they thought he was Ahab and started to attack him. But Jehoshaphat prayed, and the Lord made the Syrian soldiers stop. And when they realized he wasn't Ahab, they left him alone. However, during the fighting, a soldier shot an arrow without even aiming, and it hit Ahab between two pieces of his armor. He shouted to his chariot driver, "I've been hit. Get me out of here." The fighting lasted all day, with Ahab propped up in his chariot so he could see the Syrian troops. He stayed there until evening, and by sundown he was dead. Chapter 19. Jehoshaphat returned safely to his palace in Jerusalem. But the prophet Jehu, son of Hanani, met him and said, "By helping that wicked Ahab, you have made friends with someone who hates the Lord. Now the Lord God is angry at you. But not everything about you is bad. You destroyed the sacred poles used in worshiping the goddess Asherah. That shows you have tried to obey the Lord." Jehoshaphat appoints judges to settle cases. Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem, but he often traveled through his kingdom from Beersheba in the south to the edge of the hill country of Ephraim in the north. He talked with the people and convinced them to turn back to the Lord God and worship him, just as their ancestors had done. He assigned judges to each of the fortified cities in Judah and told them, "Be careful when you make your decisions in court, because these are the Lord's people, and he will know what you decide. So do your work in honor of him, and know that he won't allow you to be unfair to anyone or to take bribes." Jehoshaphat also chose some Levites, some priests, and some of the family leaders, and he appointed them to serve as judges in Jerusalem. He told them, "Faithfully serve the Lord. The people of Judah will bring you legal cases that involve every type of crime, including murder. You must settle these cases and warn the people to stop sinning against the Lord, so that he won't get angry and punish Judah. Remember, if you follow these instructions, you won't be held responsible for anything that happens. Amariah, the high priest, will have the final say in any religious case. And Zebediah, the leader of the Judah tribe, will have the final say in all other cases. The rest of the Levites will serve as your assistants. Be brave, and I pray that the Lord will help you do right." Moab and Ammon are defeated. Chapter 20. Sometime later, the armies of Moab and Ammon, together with the Meunites, went to war against Jehoshaphat. Messengers told Jehoshaphat, "A large army from Edom, east of the Dead Sea, has invaded our country. They have already reached Engedi." Jehoshaphat was afraid, so he asked the Lord what to do. He then told the people of Judah to go without eating to show their sorrow. They immediately left for Jerusalem to ask for the Lord's help. After everyone from Judah and Jerusalem had come together at the Lord's temple, Jehoshaphat stood in front of the new courtyard and prayed. You, Lord, are the God our ancestors worshipped, and from heaven you rule every nation in the world. You are so powerful that no one can defeat you. Our God, you forced out the nations who lived in this land before your people Israel came here, and you gave it to the descendants of your friend Abraham forever. Our ancestors lived in this land and built a temple to honor you. They believe that whenever this land is struck by war or disease or famine, your people can pray to you at the temple, and you will hear their prayer and save them. You can see that the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Edom are attacking us. Those are the nations you would not let our ancestors invade on their way from Egypt, so these nations were not destroyed. Now they are coming to take back the land you gave us. Aren't you going to punish them? We won't stand a chance when this army attacks. We don't know what to do. We are begging for your help. While every man, woman, and child of Judah was standing there at the temple, the Lord's Spirit suddenly spoke to Jehaziel, a Levite from the Asaph clan. Then Jehaziel said, Your Majesty, and everyone from Judah and Jerusalem, the Lord says that you don't need to be afraid or let this powerful army discourage you. God will fight on your side. So here's what you must do. Tomorrow the enemy armies will march through the desert around the town of Jeruel. March down and meet them at the town of Ziz as they come up the valley. You won't even have to fight. Just take your positions and watch the Lord rescue you from your enemy. Don't be afraid. Just do as you're told. And as you march out tomorrow, the Lord will be there with you. Jehoshaphat bowed low to the ground, and everyone worshipped the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohath and Korah clans stood up and shouted praises to the Lord God of Israel. Early the next morning, as everyone got ready to leave for the desert near Tekoa, Jehoshaphat stood up and said, Listen, my friends, if we trust the Lord God and believe what these prophets have told us, the Lord will help us, and we will be successful. Then he explained his plan and appointed men to march in front of the army and praise the Lord for his holy power by singing, Praise the Lord, his love never ends. As soon as they began singing, the Lord confused the enemy camp, so that the Ammonite and Moabite troops attacked and completely destroyed those from Edom. Then they turned against each other and fought until the entire camp was wiped out. When Judah's army reached the tower that overlooked the desert, they saw that every soldier in the enemy's army was lying dead on the ground. So Jehoshaphat and his troops went into the camp to carry away everything of value. They found a large herd of livestock, a lot of equipment, clothes, and other valuable things. It took them 3 days to carry it all away, and there was still some left over. Then on the fourth day, everyone came together in Berakah Valley and sang praises to the Lord. That's why that place was called Praise Valley. Jehoshaphat led the crowd back to Jerusalem. And as they marched, they played harps and blew trumpets. They were very happy because the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. So when they reached the city, they went straight to the temple. When the other nations heard how the Lord had fought against Judah's enemies, they were too afraid to invade Judah. The Lord let Jehoshaphat's kingdom be at peace. Jehoshaphat dies. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king of Judah, and he ruled from Jerusalem for 25 years. His mother was Azubah, daughter of Shilhai. Jehoshaphat obeyed the Lord just as his father Asa had done, but he did not destroy the local shrines. So the people still worshipped foreign gods instead of faithfully serving the God their ancestors had worshipped. Everything else Jehoshaphat did while he was king is written in the records of Jehu, son of Hanani, that are included in the history of the kings of Israel. While Jehoshaphat was king, he signed a peace treaty with Ahaziah, the wicked king of Israel. They agreed to build several seagoing ships at Ezion-Geber. But the prophet Eliezer warned Jehoshaphat, "The Lord will destroy these ships because you have supported Ahaziah." The ships were wrecked and never sailed. Chapter 21. Jehoshaphat died and was buried beside his ancestors in Jerusalem, and his son Jehoram became king. King Jehoram of Judah. King Jehoshaphat had 7 sons: Jehoram, Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azariah, Michael, and Shephatiah. Jehoshaphat gave each of them silver and gold as well as other valuable gifts. He also put them in charge of the fortified cities in Judah, but he had chosen his oldest son, Jehoram, to succeed him as king. After Jehoram had taken control of Judah, he had his brothers killed, as well as some of the nation's leaders. He was 32 years old when he became king, and he ruled 8 years from Jerusalem. Jehoram married Ahab's daughter, and followed the sinful example of Ahab's family and the other kings of Israel. He disobeyed the Lord by doing wrong. But because the Lord had made a solemn promise to King David that someone from his family would always rule in Judah, he refused to wipe out David's descendants. While Jehoram was king, the people of Edom rebelled and chose their own king. Jehoram, his officers, and his cavalry marched to Edom, where the Edomite army surrounded them. He escaped during the night, but Judah was never able to regain control of Edom. Even the town of Libna rebelled at that time. Those things happened because Jehoram had turned away from the Lord, the God his ancestors had worshipped. Jehoram even built local shrines in the hills of Judah, and let the people sin against the Lord by worshipping foreign gods. One day, Jehoram received a letter from Elijah the prophet that said, "I have a message for you from the Lord God your ancestor David worshipped. He knows that you have not followed the example of Jehoshaphat your father or Asa your grandfather. Instead, you have acted like those sinful kings of Israel, and have encouraged the people of Judah to stop worshiping the Lord, just as Ahab and his descendants did. You even murdered your own brothers, who were better men than you. Because you have done these terrible things, the Lord will severely punish the people in your kingdom, including your own family, and he will destroy everything you own. You will be struck with a painful stomach disease and suffer until you die." The Lord later caused the Philistines and the Arabs who live near the Ethiopians to become angry at Jehoram. They invaded Judah and stole the royal property from the palace, and they led Jehoram's wives and sons away as prisoners. The only one left behind was Ahaziah, his youngest son. After this happened, the Lord struck Jehoram with an incurable stomach disease. About 2 years later, Jehoram died in terrible pain. No bonfire was built to honor him, even though the people had done this for his ancestors. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he ruled 8 years from Jerusalem. He died, and no one even felt sad. He was buried in Jerusalem, but not in the royal tombs.
King Ahaziah of Judah. Chapter 22. Earlier, when the Arabs led a raid against Judah, they killed all of Jehoram's sons except Ahaziah, the youngest one. So the people of Jerusalem crowned him their king. He was 22 years old at the time, and he ruled only 1 year from Jerusalem. Ahaziah's mother was Athaliah, a granddaughter of King Omri of Israel, and she encouraged her son to sin against the Lord. He followed the evil example of King Ahab and his descendants. In fact, after his father's death, Ahaziah sinned against the Lord by appointing some of Ahab's relatives to be his advisers. Their advice led to his downfall. He listened to them and went with King Joram of Israel to attack King Hazael and the Syrian troops at Ramoth in Gilead. Joram was wounded in that battle, and he went to the town of Jezreel to recover. And Ahaziah later went there to visit him. It was during that visit that God had Ahaziah put to death. When Ahaziah arrived at Jezreel, he and Joram went to meet with Jehu, grandson of Nimshi. The Lord had already told Jehu to kill every male in Ahab's family. And while Jehu was doing that, he saw some of Judah's leaders and Ahaziah's nephews who had come with Ahaziah. Jehu killed them on the spot, then gave orders to find Ahaziah. Jehu's officers found him hiding in Samaria. They brought Ahaziah to Jehu, who immediately put him to death. They buried Ahaziah only because they respected Jehoshaphat, his grandfather, who had done his best to obey the Lord. There was no one from Ahaziah's family left to become king of Judah. Queen Athaliah of Judah. As soon as Athaliah heard that her son, King Ahaziah, was dead, she decided to kill any relative who could possibly become king. She would have done just that. But Jehosheba rescued Joash, son of Ahaziah, just as the others were about to be murdered. Jehosheba, who was Jehoram's daughter and Ahaziah's half-sister, was married to Jehoiada, the priest. So she was able to hide her nephew Joash and his personal servant in a bedroom in the Lord's temple, where he was safe from Athaliah. Joash hid in the temple with them for 6 years, while Athaliah ruled as queen of Judah. Jehoiada makes Joash king of Judah. Chapter 23. After Ahaziah's son Joash had hidden in the temple for 6 years, Jehoiada the priest knew that something had to be done. So he made sure he had the support of several army officers. They were Azariah, son of Jehoram, Ishmael, son of Jehohanan, Azariah, son of Obed, Maaseiah, son of Adaiah, and Elishaphat, son of Zichri. These 5 men went to the towns in Judah and called together the Levites and the clan leaders. They all came to Jerusalem and gathered at the temple, where they agreed to help Joash. Jehoiada said to them, Joash will be our next king, because long ago the Lord promised that one of David's descendants would always be king. Here is what we will do. Three groups of priests and Levites will be on guard duty on the Sabbath. One group will guard the gates of the temple, one will guard the palace, and the other will guard Foundation Gate. The rest of you will stand guard in the temple courtyards. Only the priests and Levites who are on duty will be able to enter the temple, because they will be the only ones who have gone through the ceremony to make themselves clean and acceptable. The others must stay outside in the courtyards, just as the Lord has commanded. You Levites must protect King Joash. Don't let him out of your sight, and keep your swords ready to kill anyone who comes into the temple. The Levites and the people of Judah followed Jehoiada's orders. The guards going off duty were not allowed to go home, and so each commander had all his guards available, those going off duty as well as those coming on duty. Jehoiada went into the temple and brought out the swords and shields that had belonged to King David, and he gave them to the commanders. They gave the weapons to the guards, and Jehoiada then made sure that the guards took their positions around the temple and the altar to protect the king on every side. Jehoiada and his sons brought Joash outside, where they placed the crown on his head and gave him a copy of the instructions for ruling the nation. Olive oil was poured on his head to show that he was now king, and the crowd cheered and shouted, "Long live the king!" As soon as Queen Athaliah heard the crowd cheering for Joash, she went to the temple. There she saw Joash standing by one of the columns near the entrance, which was the usual place for the king. The commanders and the trumpet players were standing next to him, and the musicians were playing instruments and leading the people as they celebrated and blew trumpets. Athaliah tore her clothes in anger and shouted, "You betrayed me, you traitors!" Right away, Jehoiada said to the army commanders, "Don't kill her near the Lord's temple. Take her out in front of the troops, and be sure to kill all of her followers." She tried to escape, but the commanders caught and killed her near the gate where horses are led into the palace. Jehoiada asked King Joash and the people to join with him in being faithful to the Lord. They agreed, then rushed to the temple of the god Baal and tore it down. They smashed the altars and the idols and killed Mattan, the priest of Baal, in front of the altars. Jehoiada assigned the priests and Levites their duties at the temple, just as David had done. They were in charge of offering sacrifices to the Lord according to the law of Moses, and they were responsible for leading the celebrations with singing. Jehoiada ordered the guards at the temple gates to keep out anyone who was unclean. Finally, Jehoiada called together the army commanders, the most important citizens of Judah, and the government officials. The crowd of people followed them as they led Joash from the temple through the upper gate and into the palace, where he took his place as king of Judah. Everyone celebrated, because Athaliah had been killed and Jerusalem was peaceful again. King Joash of Judah. Chapter 24. Joash was only 7 years old when he became king of Judah, and he ruled 40 years from Jerusalem. His mother Zibiah was from the town of Beersheba. While Jehoiada the priest was alive, Joash obeyed the Lord by doing right. Jehoiada even chose 2 women for Joash to marry so he could have a family. Sometime later, Joash decided it was time to repair the temple. He called together the priests and Levites and said, "Go everywhere in Judah and collect the annual tax from the people. I want this done right away. We need that money to repair the temple." But the Levites were in no hurry to follow the king's orders. So he sent for Jehoiada, the high priest, and asked, "Why didn't you send the Levites to collect the taxes? The Lord's servant Moses and the people agreed long ago that this tax would be collected and used to pay for the upkeep of the sacred tent. And now we needed to repair the temple, because the sons of that evil woman Athaliah came in and wrecked it. They even used some of the sacred objects to worship the god Baal. Joash gave orders for a wooden box to be made and had it placed outside, near the gate of the temple. He then sent letters everywhere in Judah and Jerusalem, asking everyone to bring their taxes to the temple, just as Moses had required their ancestors to do. The people and their leaders agreed, and they brought their money to Jerusalem and placed it in the box. Each day after the Levites took the box into the temple, the king's secretary and the high priest's assistant would dump out the money and count it. Then the empty box would be taken back outside. This happened day after day, and soon a large amount of money was collected. Joash and Jehoiada turned the money over to the men who were supervising the repairs to the temple. They used the money to hire stone cutters, carpenters, and experts in working with iron and bronze. These workers went right to work repairing the temple, and when they were finished, it looked as good as new. They did not use all the tax money for the repairs, so the rest of it was handed over to Joash and Jehoiada, who then used it to make dishes and other gold and silver objects for the temple. Sacrifices to please the Lord were offered regularly in the temple for as long as Jehoiada lived. He died at the ripe old age of 130 years, and he was buried in the royal tombs in Jerusalem, because he had done so much good for the people of Israel, for God, and for the temple. Joash turns away from the Lord. After the death of Jehoiada the priest, the leaders of Judah went to Joash and talked him into doing what they wanted. Right away, the people of Judah stopped worshiping in the temple of the Lord God, and they started worshiping idols and the symbols of the goddess Asherah. These sinful things made the Lord God angry at the people of Judah and Jerusalem. But he still sent prophets who warned them to turn back to him. The people refused to listen. God's Spirit spoke to Zechariah, son of Jehoiada the priest. And Zechariah told everyone that God was saying, "Why are you disobeying me and my laws? This will only bring punishment. You have deserted me, so now I will desert you." King Joash forgot that Zechariah's father had always been a loyal friend. So when the people of Judah plotted to kill Zechariah, Joash joined them and gave orders for them to stone him to death in the courtyard of the temple. As Zechariah was dying, he said, "I pray that the Lord will see this and punish all of you." Joash is killed. In the spring of the following year, the Syrian army invaded Judah and Jerusalem, killing all of the nation's leaders. They collected everything of value that belonged to the people and took it back to their king in Damascus. The Syrian army was very small, but the Lord let them defeat Judah's large army because he was punishing Joash and the people of Judah for turning away from him. Joash was severely wounded during the battle, and as soon as the Syrians left Judah, two of his officials, Zabad and Jehozabad, decided to revenge the death of Zechariah. They plotted and killed Joash while he was in bed, recovering from his wounds. Joash was buried in Jerusalem, but not in the royal tombs. The history of the kings also tells more about the sons of Joash, what the prophets said about him, and how he repaired the temple. Amaziah, son of Joash, became king after his father's death. King Amaziah of Judah. Chapter 25. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he ruled 29 years from Jerusalem, the hometown of his mother Jehoaddan. Even though Amaziah obeyed the Lord by doing right, he refused to be completely faithful. For example, as soon as he had control of Judah, he arrested and killed the officers who had murdered his father. But the children of those officers were not killed. The Lord had commanded in the law of Moses that only the people who sinned were to be punished. Edom is defeated. Amaziah sent a message to the tribes of Judah and Benjamin and called together all the men who were 20 years old and older. 300,000 men went to Jerusalem, all of them ready for battle and able to fight with spears and shields. Amaziah grouped these soldiers according to their clans and put them under the command of his army officers. Amaziah also paid almost 4 tons of silver to hire 100,000 soldiers from Israel. One of God's prophets said, "Your Majesty, don't let these Israelite soldiers march into battle with you. The Lord has refused to help anyone from the northern kingdom of Israel, and so he will let your enemies defeat you, even if you fight hard. He is the one who brings both victory and defeat." Amaziah replied, "What am I supposed to do about all the silver I paid those troops?" "The Lord will give you back even more than you paid," the prophet answered. Amaziah ordered the troops from Israel to go home. But when they left, they were furious with the people of Judah. After Amaziah got his courage back, he led his troops to Salt Valley, where he killed 10,000 Edomite soldiers in battle. He captured 10,000 more soldiers and dragged them to the top of a high cliff. Then he pushed them over the side, and they all were killed on the rocks below. Meanwhile, the Israelite troops that Amaziah had sent home raided the towns in Judah between Samaria and Beth-Horon. They killed 3,000 people and carried off their possessions. After Amaziah had defeated the Edomite army, he returned to Jerusalem. He took with him the idols of the Edomite gods and set them up. Then he bowed down and offered them sacrifices. This made the Lord very angry, and he sent a prophet to ask Amaziah, "Why would you worship these foreign gods that couldn't even save their own people from your attack?" But before the prophet finished speaking, Amaziah interrupted and said, "You're not one of my advisers. Don't say another word, or I'll have you killed." The prophet stopped, but then he added, "First you sinned, and now you've ignored my warning. It's clear that God has decided to punish you." Israel defeats Judah. King Amaziah of Judah talked with his officials, then sent a message to King Jehoash of Israel, "Come out and face me in battle." Jehoash sent back a reply that said, "Once upon a time, a small thorn bush in Lebanon arranged the marriage between his son and the daughter of a large cedar tree. But a wild animal came along and trampled the small bush. Amaziah, you think you're so powerful because you defeated Edom. But stay at home and do your celebrating. If you cause any trouble, both you and your kingdom of Judah will be destroyed." God made Amaziah stubborn because he was planning to punish him for worshiping the Edomite gods. Amaziah refused to listen to Jehoash's warning. So Jehoash led his army to the town of Beth Shemesh in Judah to attack Amaziah and his troops. During the battle, Judah's army was crushed. Every soldier from Judah ran back home, and Jehoash captured Amaziah. Jehoash took Amaziah with him when he went to attack Jerusalem. Jehoash broke down the city wall from Ephraim Gate to Corner Gate, a section about 600 feet long. He carried away the gold, the silver, and all the valuable furnishings from God's temple where the descendants of Obed-Edom stood guard. He robbed the king's treasury, took hostages, then returned to Samaria. Amaziah is killed. Amaziah lived 15 years after Jehoash died. Everything else Amaziah did while he was king is written in the history of the kings of Judah and Israel. As soon as Amaziah started disobeying the Lord, some people in Jerusalem plotted against Amaziah. He was able to escape to the town of Lachish, but another group of people caught him and killed him there. His body was taken to Jerusalem on horseback and buried beside his ancestors.
K. King Uzziah of Judah. Chapter 26. After the death of King Amaziah, the people of Judah crowned his son Uzziah king, even though he was only 16 at the time. Uzziah ruled 52 years from Jerusalem, the hometown of his mother Jechaliah. During his rule, he recaptured and rebuilt the town of Elath. He obeyed the Lord by doing right, as his father Amaziah had done. Zechariah was Uzziah's advisor and taught him to obey God. And so, as long as Zechariah was alive, Uzziah was faithful to God, and God made him successful. While Uzziah was king, he started a war against the Philistines. He smashed the walls of the cities of Gath, Jabneh, and Ashdod, then rebuilt towns around Ashdod and in other parts of Philistia. God helped him defeat the Philistines, the Arabs living in Gur-Baal, and the Meunites. Even the Ammonites paid taxes to Uzziah. He became very powerful, and people who lived as far away as Egypt heard about him. In Jerusalem, Uzziah built fortified towers at the corner gate, the valley gate, and the place where the city wall turned inward. He also built defense towers out in the desert. He owned such a large herd of livestock in the western foothills and in the flatlands that he had cisterns dug there to catch the rainwater. He loved farming, so he had crops and vineyards planted in the hill country, wherever there was fertile soil, and he hired farmers to take care of them. Uzziah's army was always ready for battle. Jeiel and Maaseiah were the officers who kept track of the number of soldiers, and these two men were under the command of Hananiah, one of Uzziah's officials. There were 307,500 trained soldiers, all under the command of 2,600 clan leaders. These powerful troops protected the king against any enemy. Uzziah supplied his army with shields, spears, helmets, armor, bows, and stones used for slinging. Some of his skilled workers invented machines that could shoot arrows and sling large stones. Uzziah set these up in Jerusalem at his defense towers and at the corners of the city wall. God helped Uzziah become more and more powerful, and he was famous all over the world. Uzziah becomes too proud. Uzziah became proud of his power, and this led to his downfall. One day, Uzziah disobeyed the Lord his God by going into the temple and burning incense as an offering to him. Azariah the priest and 80 other brave priests followed Uzziah into the temple and said, "Your Majesty, this isn't right. You are not allowed to burn incense to the Lord. That must be done only by priests who are descendants of Aaron. You will have to leave. You have sinned against the Lord, and so he will no longer bless you." Uzziah, who was standing next to the incense altar at the time, was holding the incense burner ready to offer incense to the Lord. He became very angry when he heard Azariah's warning, and leprosy suddenly appeared on his forehead. Azariah and the other priests saw it and immediately told him to leave the temple. Uzziah realized that the Lord had punished him, so he hurried to get outside. Uzziah had leprosy the rest of his life. He was no longer allowed in the temple or in his own palace. That's why his son Jotham lived there and ruled in his place. Everything else Uzziah did while he was king is in the records written by the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. Since Uzziah had leprosy, he could not be buried in the royal tombs. Instead, he was buried in a nearby cemetery that the kings owned. His son Jotham then became king. King Jotham of Judah. Chapter 27. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king of Judah, and he ruled from Jerusalem for 16 years. Jerusha, his mother, was the daughter of Zadok. Jotham obeyed the Lord and did right. He followed the example of his father Uzziah, except he never burned incense in the temple as his father had done. But the people of Judah kept sinning against the Lord. Jotham rebuilt the upper gate of the temple and did a lot of work to repair the wall near Mount Ophel. He built towns in the mountains of Judah and built fortresses and defense towers in the forests. During his rule, he attacked and defeated the Ammonites. Then, every year for the next 3 years, he forced them to pay 4 tons of silver, 60,000 bushels of wheat, and 60,000 bushels of barley. Jotham remained faithful to the Lord his God and became a very powerful king. Everything else Jotham did while he was king, including the wars he fought, is written in the history of the kings of Israel and Judah. After he had ruled Judah 16 years, he died at the age of 41. He was buried in Jerusalem, and his son Ahaz became king. King Ahaz of Judah. Chapter 28. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king of Judah, and he ruled from Jerusalem for 16 years. Ahaz was nothing like his ancestor David. Ahaz disobeyed the Lord, and was as sinful as the kings of Israel. He made idols of the god Baal, and he offered sacrifices in Hinnom Valley. Worst of all, Ahaz sacrificed his own sons, which was a disgusting custom of the nations that the Lord had forced out of Israel. Ahaz offered sacrifices at the local shrines, as well as on every hill and in the shade of large trees. Syria and Israel attacked Judah. Ahaz and the people of Judah sinned and turned away from the Lord, the God their ancestors had worshipped. So the Lord punished them by letting their enemies defeat them. The king of Syria attacked Judah and took many of its people to Damascus as prisoners. King Pekah of Israel later defeated Judah and killed 120,000 of its bravest soldiers in one day. During that battle, an Israelite soldier named Zichri killed 3 men from Judah: Maaseiah, the king's son, Azrikam, the official in charge of the palace, and Elkanah, the king's second-in-command. The Israelite troops captured 200,000 women and children and took them back to their capital city of Samaria, along with a large amount of their possessions. They did these things even though the people of Judah were their own relatives. Oded the prophet condemns Israel. Oded lived in Samaria and was one of the Lord's prophets. He met Israel's army on their way back from Judah and said to them, "The Lord God of your ancestors let you defeat Judah's army only because he was angry with them. But you should not have been so cruel. If you make slaves of the people of Judah and Jerusalem, you will be as guilty as they are of sinning against the Lord. Send these prisoners back home, They are your own relatives. If you don't, the Lord will punish you in his anger. About the same time, four of Israel's leaders arrived. They were Azariah, son of Johanan, Berechiah, son of Meshillemoth, Jehizkiah, son of Shallum, and Amasa, son of Hadlai. They agreed with Oded that the Israelite troops were wrong, and they said, "If you bring these prisoners into Samaria, that will be one more thing we've done to sin against the Lord, and he is already angry enough at us." So, in front of the leaders and the crowd, the troops handed over their prisoners and the property they had taken from Judah. The four leaders took some of the stolen clothes and gave them to the prisoners who needed something to wear. They later gave them all a new change of clothes and shoes, then fixed them something to eat and drink, and cleaned their wounds with olive oil. They gave donkeys to those who were too weak to walk, and led all of them back to Jericho, the city known for its palm trees. The leaders then returned to Samaria. Ahaz asks the king of Assyria for help. Sometime later, the Edomites attacked the eastern part of Judah again and carried away prisoners. And at the same time, the Philistines raided towns in the western foothills and in the southern desert. They conquered the towns of Beth Shemesh, Ajalon, Gederoth, Soko, Timnah, and Gimzo, including the villages around them. Then some of the Philistines went to live in these places. Ahaz sent a message to King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria and begged for help. But God was punishing Judah with these disasters because Ahaz had disobeyed him and refused to stop Judah from sinning. So Tiglath-Pileser came to Judah, but instead of helping, he made things worse. Ahaz gave him gifts from the Lord's temple and the king's palace, as well as from the homes of Israel's other leaders. The Assyrian king still refused to help Ahaz. The final sin of Ahaz and his death. Even after all these terrible things happened to Ahaz, he sinned against the Lord even worse than before. He said to himself, "The Syrian gods must have helped their kings defeat me. Maybe if I offer sacrifices to those gods, they will help me." That was the sin that finally led to the downfall of Ahaz, as well as to the destruction of Judah. Ahaz collected all the furnishings of the temple and smashed them to pieces. Then he locked the doors to the temple and set up altars to foreign gods on every street corner in Jerusalem. In every city and town in Judah, he built local shrines to worship foreign gods. All of this made the Lord God of his ancestors very angry. Everything else Ahaz did while he was king is written in the history of the kings of Judah and Israel. Ahaz died and was buried in Jerusalem, but not in the royal tombs. His son Hezekiah then became king.
King Hezekiah of Judah. Chapter 29. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king of Judah, and he ruled 29 years from Jerusalem. His mother was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. Hezekiah obeyed the Lord by doing right, just as his ancestor David had done. The temple is purified. In the first month of the first year of Hezekiah's rule, he unlocked the doors to the Lord's temple and had them repaired. Then he called the priests and Levites to the east courtyard of the temple and said, It's time to purify the temple of the Lord God of our ancestors. You Levites must first go through the ceremony to make yourselves clean, then go into the temple and bring out everything that is unclean and unacceptable to the Lord. Some of our ancestors were unfaithful and disobeyed the Lord our God. Not only did they turn their backs on the Lord, but they also completely ignored his temple. They locked the doors, then let the lamps go out, and stopped burning incense and offering sacrifices to him. The Lord became terribly angry at the people of Judah and Jerusalem, and everyone was shocked and horrified at what he did to punish them. Not only were our ancestors killed in battle, but our own children and wives were taken captive. So I have decided to renew our agreement with the Lord God of Israel. Maybe then he will stop being so angry at us. Let's not waste any time, my friends. You are the ones who were chosen to be the Lord's priests and to offer him sacrifices. When Hezekiah finished talking, the following Levite leaders went to work: Mahath, son of Amasai, and Joel, son of Azariah, from the Kohath clan; Kish, son of Abdi, and Azariah, son of Jehalalel, from the Merari clan; Joah, son of Zimmah, and Eden, son of Joah, from the Gershon clan; Shimri and Juel, from the Elizaphan clan; Zechariah and Mattaniah, from the Asaph clan; Jehuel and Shimei from the Heman clan; Shemaiah and Aziel from the Jeduthun clan. These leaders gathered together the rest of the Levites, and they all went through the ceremony to make themselves clean. Then they began to purify the temple according to the law of the Lord, just as Hezekiah had commanded. The priests went into the temple and carried out everything that was unclean. They put these things in the courtyard, and from there the Levites carried them outside the city to Kidron Valley. The priests and Levites began their work on the first day of the first month. It took them 1 week to purify the courtyards of the temple, and another week to purify the temple. So on the 16th day of the same month, they went back to Hezekiah and said, "Your Majesty, we have finished our work. The entire temple is now pure again, and so is the altar and its utensils, as well as the table for the sacred loaves of bread and its utensils. And we have brought back all the things that King Ahaz took from the temple during the time he was unfaithful to God. We purified them and put them back in front of the altar." Worship in the Temple. Right away, Hezekiah called together the officials of Jerusalem, and they went to the temple. They brought with them 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 lambs, and 7 goats as sacrifices to take away the sins of Hezekiah's family and of the people of Judah, as well as to purify the temple. Hezekiah told the priests, who were descendants of Aaron, to sacrifice these animals on the altar. The priests killed the bulls, the rams, and the lambs, then splattered the blood on the altar. They took the goats to Hezekiah and the worshippers, and they laid their hands on the animals. The priests then killed the goats and splattered the blood on the altar as a sacrifice to take away the sins of everyone in Israel, because Hezekiah had commanded that these sacrifices be made for all the people of Israel. Next, Hezekiah assigned the Levites to their places in the temple. He gave them cymbals, harps, and other stringed instruments, according to the instructions that the Lord had given King David and the 2 prophets, Gad and Nathan. The Levites were ready to play the instruments that had belonged to David. The priests were ready to blow the trumpets. As soon as Hezekiah gave the signal for the sacrifices to be burned on the altar, the musicians began singing praises to the Lord and playing their instruments, and everyone worshipped the Lord. This continued until the last animal was sacrificed. After that, Hezekiah and the crowd of worshippers knelt down and worshipped the Lord. Then Hezekiah and his officials ordered the Levites to sing the songs of praise that David and Asaph the prophet had written. And so they bowed down and joyfully sang praises to the Lord. Hezekiah said to the crowd, "Now that you are once again acceptable to the Lord, bring sacrifices and offerings to give him thanks." The people did this, and some of them voluntarily brought animals to be offered as sacrifices. 70 bulls, 100 rams, and 200 lambs were brought as sacrifices to please the Lord. 600 bulls and 3,000 sheep were brought as sacrifices to ask the Lord's blessing. There were not enough priests to skin all these animals because many of the priests had not taken the time to go through the ceremony to make themselves clean. However, since all the Levites had made themselves clean, they helped the priests until the last animal was skinned. Besides all the sacrifices that were burned on the altar, the fat from the other animal sacrifices was burned, and the offerings of wine were poured over the altar. So the temple was once again used for worshiping the Lord. Hezekiah and the people of Judah celebrated, because God had helped them make this happen so quickly. Hezekiah prepares to celebrate Passover. Chapter 30. Passover wasn't celebrated in the first month, which was the usual time, because many of the priests were still unclean and unacceptable to serve, and because not everyone in Judah had come to Jerusalem for the festival. So Hezekiah, his officials, and the people agreed to celebrate Passover in the second month. Hezekiah sent a message to everyone in Israel and Judah, including those in the territories of Ephraim and West Manasseh, inviting them to the temple in Jerusalem for the celebration of Passover in honor of the Lord God of Israel. Everyone from Beersheba in the south to Dan in the north was invited. This was the largest crowd of people that had ever celebrated Passover, according to the official records. Hezekiah's messengers went everywhere in Israel and Judah with the following letter. "People of Israel, now that you have survived the invasion of the Assyrian kings, it's time for you to turn back to the Lord God our ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob worshipped. If you do this, he will stop being angry. Don't follow the example of your ancestors and your Israelite relatives in the north. They were unfaithful to the Lord, and he punished them horribly. Don't be stubborn like your ancestors. Decide now to obey the Lord our God. Come to Jerusalem and worship him in the temple that will belong to him forever. Then he will stop being angry, and the enemies that have captured your families will show pity and send them back home. The Lord God is kind and merciful, and if you turn back to him, he will no longer turn his back on you." The messengers went to every town in Ephraim and West Manasseh, as far north as the territory of Zebulun. But everyone laughed and insulted them. Only a few people from the tribes of Asher, West Manasseh, and Zebulun were humble and went to Jerusalem. God also made everyone in Judah eager to do what Hezekiah and his officials had commanded. Passover is celebrated. In the second month, a large crowd of people gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the festival of thin bread. They took all the foreign altars and incense altars in Jerusalem and threw them into Kidron Valley. Then, on the 14th day of that same month, the Levites began killing the lambs for Passover, because many of the worshippers were unclean and were not allowed to kill their own lambs. Meanwhile, some of the priests and Levites felt ashamed because they had not gone through the ceremony to make themselves clean. They immediately went through that ceremony and went to the temple, where they offered sacrifices to please the Lord. Then the priests and Levites took their positions according to the law of Moses, the servant of God. As the Levites killed the lambs, they handed some of the blood to the priests, who splattered it on the altar. Most of the people that came from Ephraim, West Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun had not made themselves clean. But they ignored God's law and ate the Passover lambs anyway. Hezekiah found out what they had done and prayed, "Lord God, these people are unclean according to the laws of holiness, but they are worshiping you just as their ancestors did. So please be kind and forgive them." The Lord answered Hezekiah's prayer and did not punish them. The worshippers in Jerusalem were very happy and celebrated the festival for 7 days. The Levites and priests sang praises to the Lord every day and played their instruments. Hezekiah thanked the Levites for doing such a good job leading the celebration. The worshippers celebrated for 7 days by offering sacrifices, by eating the sacred meals, and by praising the Lord God of their ancestors. Everyone was so excited that they agreed to celebrate 7 more days. So Hezekiah gave the people 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep to be offered as sacrifices and to be used as food for the sacred meals. His officials gave 1,000 bulls and 10,000 sheep, and many more priests agreed to go through the ceremony to make themselves clean. Everyone was very happy, including those from Judah and Israel, the priests and Levites, and the foreigners living in Judah and Israel. It was the biggest celebration in Jerusalem since the days of King Solomon, the son of David. The priests and Levites asked God to bless the people, and from his home in heaven he did. The people destroy the local shrines. Chapter 31. After the festival, the people went to every town in Judah and smashed the stone images of foreign gods and cut down the sacred poles for worshipping the goddess Asherah. They destroyed all the local shrines and foreign altars in Judah, as well as those in the territories of Benjamin, Ephraim, and West Manasseh. Then everyone went home. Offerings for the priests and Levites. Hezekiah divided the priests and Levites into groups according to